Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to the TE Podcast by Developing Lafayette. My name is Ben Powers. I'm your host. And what we like to do with this podcast is we like to invite different business owners, different community influencers in Lafayette Parish that really highlight Lafayette Parish and what we're all about.
This is the TE. If you're listening on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast, well, welcome. Today is a fun episode. We have the team at the Cajun Dome, the executive team, to basically come chat with us about different things that the Cajun Dome has coming up. And we're going to be talking about different things that the Cajun Dome is known for and maybe some questions that you guys have. So if you do have any questions, feel free to ask if you're listening live. So, but first, I'm going to go ahead and tell you about our sponsor. The sponsor is Sterling Automotive Pre-Owned Group. And like I said all the time, you know, purchasing a vehicle is always stressful. Usually it presents a huge challenge for many of us, causes a lot of undue stress and pressure on prospective owners. Sterling Automotive Group wants to help remove some of that stress by providing dependable vehicles and an incredible selection. They have locations all across Acadiana with direct access to 800 quality pre-owned vehicles across 5 cities and 3 parishes. You can view their inventory at saveatsterling.com, and I have the website on the screen, saveatsterling.com. And you can go to their Facebook page, too, if you want to follow them at facebook.com/sterlingauto. And we really appreciate Sterling Automotive for sponsoring this podcast because we like to get paid. All right, so today we have Pam DeVille, the Executive Director of Cajun Dome, and Casey White, Marketing Director at the Cajun Dome. And I'm going to let them introduce themselves and kind of what they do, and then we'll go into some of the questions that I'm pretty sure most people have, and I have an idea of what those questions may be, and I have a couple that were submitted. So, Pam, if you'd like to introduce yourself.
Okay. Pam DeVille. I started at the Cajun Dome in 1986. Actually, 3 days after my youngest daughter was born, I interviewed for the job. But have worked there ever since and became executive director actually a year ago. Mr. Greg retired, yes.
So you've been there since 1986. Mm-hmm. I have here that the doors opened in 1985.
They did.
Wow.
Yep.
So you've been there like since the beginning. Yep.
Yes. Yes. I got a lot of stories.
Yeah, I bet you do. So we'll get there. And then I have Casey White. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Sure. I guess I'm coming up on my 4th year with the Cajun Dome. Started out as the Convention Center Sales Manager. And then most recently, I guess as of October 2018, took over as the Marketing Director. So I help, you know, promote shows that we've got coming over, you know, all in-house PR, things like that.
So. Okay. So, Pam, obviously, it looks like, judging by this picture that was provided to me, I'm going to make a joke. You love to golf. Not really. You love to fish.
Oh, I do.
And it looks like you're wearing a fishing shirt, actually.
I'm consistent.
So, this picture of you is, looks like you're near an oil production rig or something.
Coquetry.
Yeah.
Right outside of Coquetry.
So, what do you have? Is that a redfish?
That's a redfish.
Nice. How big was it?
33 pounds.
33 pounds. You look proud of it.
I was.
Yeah.
I was.
Wow. So, how often do you go fishing?
When summer comes, we're on the water. Actually, we try to get in the spring, but weather seems to be a challenge.
So you go fishing often. That's the main thing you like to do?
I love to fish.
I bet.
That and hang out with my grandbabies.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Casey, what do you like to do for fun?
Oh, man.
Besides working at the Cajun Dome.
I know, right? No, I mean, obviously working at the Cajun Dome kind of puts us in the mix of a lot of great events in town. I've also got 3 little ones myself, so I've got newborn twins. So as of right now, that's kind of where all my energy's focused.
I bet. Like, I had one, and that was a lot of energy. He's still a lot of energy. He's 3 now, so.
Oh, yeah.
But I couldn't imagine twins. My wife, she's an identical twin, so she tells me all the time. She said, "I don't know how my mom puts up with us or has put up with us."
That's awesome.
So to get started with some of the questions, one of the questions that were submitted, and we can kind of dive into I guess, the logistics behind each and every one of these. There's only two questions, but we can go a little deeper. This first question comes from Chris Goodland. He says, many of us would like to know if there's still potential of the ice skaters coming back.
Oh, man. I wish they would. The ice skaters went through three transitions. And when I say transitions, ownership groups. And the very first one was the most successful. It was very unique. The market fell in love with it. I mean, we had as many, the first year, we had as many season ticket holders out of Baton Rouge as we had in Lafayette.
Wow.
And after the first season, it flipped. And I think it was largely 85% of the audience were season ticket holders, and there were very few tickets on sale. So I want to say the first 4 years, 90% of the games sold out. That's incredible.
When was the first year of the Ice Skaters game?
I want to say 93.
93? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's about right. I think we started, we went to a game around 94, 95-ish. Mm-hmm. I remember being in the Boy Scouts, and we went. And that was the coolest thing, and it was packed by back
oh, yeah.
then. Like,
oh,
you,
yeah.
you could barely find a seat.
Oh, yeah.
And I think when I moved here for a couple of years, early 2010s area, they had new Ice Skaters games, and it was about half,
right.
maybe half of what it used to
right.
be.
Well, when it started out, first off, no one in the market knew. Unless you were from up north, you did not have a clue what ice skaters were. So there was a lot of curiosity. And the very first game, I'll tell a story of Greg and I, the very first game, opening night, we had been up in the rafters and we shot off confetti and there were a lot of pomp and circumstance. And then when that's all done, we all go downstairs. The event was sold out. So Greg and I had to stand in a corner, and we're right next to the ice. And it was the first period, and all of a sudden, two guys started fighting, and the benches cleared. Every player was on the ice, and they're all fighting. And I'm looking at Greg going, all right, do we call the police? I mean, what do we do?
Isn't that what hockey is supposed to be?
I didn't right. know. So it was hilarious. So he said, no, I think we're just supposed to stand here and watch. So we're watching. And eventually they cleared the ice. So after the game, we obviously sat down with the coach and the owners and said, okay, y'all have to really educate us quick. Because if we have to answer questions, we don't have all the answers.
Right.
But it was fun. It
okay.
was a lot of fun. They made it affordable. It was the same price as a ticket to the movies. It was definitely family-oriented. And there were a lot of kids. And it just took on a life of its own. They had write-ups in Germany, papers in Germany, Iceland, all these bizarre places saying, how does a team in South Louisiana sell out every game? And our team, it was always, and our team can only sell blah, so many. So Lafayette got a lot of publicity and exposure from the ice skaters.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it did. I mean, that was the first time I had ever been to Lafayette as a kid.
Yeah.
It was the big city.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, we had met with some people in Baton Rouge, I guess it was about a year before we opened up with ice skaters. And we were trying to convince them to also talk to their venue in Baton Rouge and get a team. And the person, I won't mention his name, basically because I can't remember, but he was in charge of sports for tourism in Baton Rouge. And he's sitting with us, and he had a very distinguished career, had worked at LSU. And so Greg and I are pitching him all the information about why you should do ice skaters. We were doing it from the business standpoint. We weren't even talking about the excitement of the game or any of that. It was strictly a business. And he was polite. He listened, and at the end got very condescending and basically said, y'all are terribly nice people, but you're very young, and you have no idea what you're doing. That's not going to work in South Louisiana. Obviously, you're not sports people. And Greg and I looked at each other and said, well, okay.
Wow.
So we left. After the first year, Baton Rouge came knocking. Okay, what do we do? How do we get in? Come on in, said the spider to the fly.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It was. But to answer your question, the short answer is the last owners that put ice skaters back on the ice, it is such an expensive proposition. The workman's comp cost for a team are exorbitant because the fighting, mm-hmm. the checking, I mean, it's a very hazardous sport for players. And when they have to go in and have surgeries and break a leg or whatever, it adds up nowadays big time. So
dental bills, right?
Oh, yeah, dental bills. I mean, I can imagine like a puck just flying straight at you. I mean, have a face shield, but...
So that and many other things make it really cost prohibitive because by the time... A lot of people wonder how the cost of a ticket is set for any event, at the Cage Dome or anywhere else. And the owners of the property or the promoters of the event have to back out all their expenses, what they think they'll make, what the potential is, and then base the tickets on what profit margin do they need that's acceptable for the risk that they're going to take, because nobody knows what the ticket sales are going to be on the event. You can only estimate. So if you give the expenses that are associated with a hockey team now, you better have a lot of games and a lot of people.
Yeah, and your advertising better be good. Your promoting should be really good because, the ice skaters have a name, so if it came back, there would be people that would go, but there would also be a lot of people who are like, what? Why do we have a hockey team? Like, people that had just maybe moved here.
Right.
You kind of started touching on the next question, and you can elaborate a little bit more. So this question comes from Crystal Duplantis, I believe. I'm guessing I'm saying that right. Why not have more rock bands? We don't all just like country.
I've never heard that question
before. I'm pretty sure you have never heard any of these questions.
That comes out every announcement that we have for a concert. Why isn't it rock?
Right. We do have a history of rock shows. Actually, we have a rock show coming up. Kiss is coming to the Cage.
There you go. See, that's a good rock band.
So I would encourage everybody that's been complaining about no rock concerts to show their support and buy tickets. As far as a steady diet of rock concerts, the Cajun Dome does not promote shows.
You guys don't seek out acts?
Oh, I do.
I do.
And then I track down who the agent is, and then I track down who the promoters are, then I track down the routing. Yes, I do go after shows. Don't misunderstand that.
Okay.
But I can't write a check for a guarantee. If Elton John's coming and he's $1.5 million guarantee, I can't write that check.
Yeah, because you can't guarantee that you'll fill the seats. Now, chances are you'll fill the seats.
Right, yeah. Right. That's not the issue.
But the ticket price, in order to cover that and all the expenses of the show.
I'd be, what, like $200? God. Yeah. I'm just guessing. That's a ballpark
figure.
At the
top, right?
Yeah.
Like you're sitting at the top row of the Cajun Dome. Paying $200.
Nosebleed.
You know, as you get closer, you know.
Yeah. We've done a lot of rock concerts. We've done a lot of heavy metal concerts in the past. And unfortunately, there's not as large an audience. Now, I'm not saying there aren't people out there that love that music.
Right.
But for whatever reason, by the time they hear about the event, in some cases it's after the event, Lafayette did not have a strong rock medium for a promoter to advertise through to bring those type of shows in. And Lafayette's never really had a strong rock radio station over the last 30 years.
We had one, I think it was Planet Rock or something like that. We don't even have that anymore.
Right, yeah. Right. So, and we had rock shows come in. But the issue is a promoter and the agency is gonna look back at the history of the ticket sales and what happens in the market. They represent a lot of the shows. CAA is the biggest agency for rock shows that we deal with. And they will look back at what we did, what the ticket prices were, what the sales were, time of year. They really do examine all that information before they make a decision. And obviously, we are not on top of anyone's list right now. We still pursue them. We still go after them. But until the sales go up on those type of shows in this market or in this region, it's going to be real tough to get those in. It's going to be real tough to get a promoter to put up the money to promote those kind of shows. So when something like a KISS comes in, or what was our most recent event we did in the convention center? Who were those guys?
Firehouse.
Foundry. And when those shows come in, you really have to buy tickets and go to them. If you want that type of music, you need to buy tickets. Because until we have a great track record, it's really tough to convince agents and promoters that they should bring those shows here.
So, I mean, basically, there would be taking a risk. And so they need to outweigh.
Well, you're taking a risk every time
right.
you do a show.
But, I mean, if you look at the stats, if it shows better that you're closer to get a better payout with a certain genre, then, I mean, I can. So, yeah. What genre of music at the Cajun Dome is the most popular? Like, is it country? It's country, kind of figure. So according
country
to that,
sales. Yeah, it does.
Let me give you some marketing information.
Sure.
And it will probably explain why the demographic is what it is. The Cajun Dome services 11 parish area. We have $1.5 million people within a 50-mile radius.
Okay.
So when we look at our ticket sales, and we're a Ticketmaster venue, and we look at our reports, 85% of the people that buy tickets to a Cajun Dome event live outside Lafayette Parish. 85%. So the city of Lafayette and our citizens are not our base group.
It's people
from outside of Lafayette.
Yeah.
So I guess if you look at it, if you've got a building in your own backyard, you kind of take it for granted. We've been around for 30 plus years, and even when we announce a show, there's not the same enthusiasm as the person who lives in Morgan City, Thibodaux, Alexandria, Shreveport, Beaumont,
yeah.
Little Rock.
Because for them it's like, oh, it's close.
Yeah.
Like, it's close enough I can drive and I can go, right?
So those artists have fans that live in Mississippi, Arkansas, and Texas, or in North Louisiana. They'll buy tickets in a heartbeat. And when we sell the tickets, depending on the genre of the show, 80 to 90% of those tickets are sold online.
Yeah.
The old days, they used to line up at the box office. I mean, we used to have parties and promotions.
Have to, like, physically go to the...
Yeah, come to the Cajun Dome. The fees are cheaper here. Come on down. Donuts, radio stations would show up. I mean...
And that doesn't happen anymore.
You might have a handful of folks now that show up on an on-sale day.
Because they want front row.
Office.
Yeah.
Right.
They want to make sure they're on the front row.
Or to save on the Ticketmaster
yeah.
fees.
Yeah.
Save
but
a few dollars.
The majority of people buy online. They buy on their phones. They buy on
yeah.
their computer.
I mean, it's just easier, too.
Yeah. And truthfully.
You can look at a map in real time, right?
Yeah,
right. Pick the exact seat you want to get, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it makes sense that the largest demographic, it's outside of the Lafayette region as far as the parish goes, because whenever I think of going somewhere or going to an event, it's always exciting to go to a place where you're not living. Like when something happens in Baton Rouge or New Orleans or Lake Charles, when something happens there, or even just at Opelousas at the Evangeline Downs. Like I don't know if you're familiar with Mama's Family, the sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm blanking out on her name, but she came
Carol
to
Carol Burnett's
yes.
lookalike.
Yeah. Well, she came to the Evangeline Downs, and it was like I think Valentine's Day or in that week,
mm-hmm.
and my wife and I were like, we gotta go.
Right.
And we made a night out of it. Like
it was an event.
Yeah, we drove there. We ate at one of the little casino restaurants, one of the Yellowtail or whatever the nice one is. And it was Valentine's Day, so we had a steak, and then we went and watched Mama perform, and it was fun. So I guess that's where the demographic is. You know, the further you get out, it's more sparse, and people like the big city idea. And so
yep.
anybody that lives an hour away looks at Lafayette like, oh.
Right.
You know, traffic is bad there. It's a big city, you know, all that good stuff. Because that's how I used to look at it.
Well, when we...
Traffic's still bad here.
Yeah. When we had ice skaters, and Baton Rouge ended up getting a team 2 years in, we still had more people that were season ticket holders from Baton Rouge than Lafayette.
Wow.
It was quicker and easier for them to leave their homes in Baton Rouge, drive to Lafayette, park at the Cajun Dome and or Cajun Field, go in the event, than it was in their own city.
That's just crazy to think about. Like,
you just, the people think they know how everything operates. We all think we know until you get in the middle of it.
Right.
And once you're in the middle of it, it's like the aha moments. I mean, when we started getting the reports from Ticketmaster, I called them and said, there's no way that 85% of the people buying tickets live outside of Lafayette. Oh, yeah. There's a way. Wow.
So, talking about events now, what are some of the events that you guys have coming up that you're promoting or you're advertising for?
Go for it.
Sure.
Hey, I got a cheat list right here.
You got a cheat list. Okay. All right.
I guess, obviously, first and foremost, it is basketball season. So, we've got men and women's basketball games going on pretty much now through the beginning of March. So, that's going to take up a lot of arena dates.
And that's for the Cajuns?
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. For UL. Mm-hmm. Raging Cajuns.
Women and men.
Okay. Yes.
And then, February is pretty heavy when it comes to Mardi Gras season. So,
right,
we're going to host a lot of balls that are going on the property. And then in March is kind of where we're getting into our bread and butter for events. And so March 5th, we're going to have Jason Aldean. March 7th is Harlem Globetrotters.
Okay.
March 14th is KISS, like we mentioned. March 2021 is going to be the Toughest Monster Truck Tour. And then March 25 through 29 is Cirque du Soleil, their show OVO. So it's like a Bug's Life.
I've been seeing
show.
A lot of that advertised.
Yeah, they do a really good digital push with their marketing, so you should probably see it every time you scroll on Facebook.
Right,
like,
almost.
Like, oh, save on Cirque now. Like, I think I see it every time I pull it up. So
I keep seeing the little green man who's doing like this weird split.
Yeah,
I'm like,
God,
like the weird I keep seeing it.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Some other announced concerts we have Kane Brown on April 25th. That's actually festival international weekend, so there'll be a lot of music going on in town. Which they do the park and ride from Cajun Field during that weekend, so you could actually park at Cajun Field, go to the festival during the day, and then come back and see Kane Brown when you come back to your car later that night. So.
And festivals are free concert or a free event, so you could save the money that you're unless you're drinking a lot. Unless you're drinking a lot, but
sweat a little bit, and then
come to the Cajun Dome
where
it's really cool,
and watch Kane Brown. And then in July 18th, we've got Lauren Daigle. So her show's pretty much almost sold out. So if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, don't wait.
Lauren, bro, she is blowing up. And it's so wild to think that she started out in a church, literally, I think, off of Dulles.
Right.
And I'm like, how did somebody here just blow? It's so amazing to me, especially with the world of the internet. You can just go to SoundCloud, upload a song on SoundCloud, and somebody discover you, and then all of a sudden you're an instant success. Like Post Malone, I don't know if y'all know who Post Malone is. That's how he got started. He made his own song and posted it to SoundCloud, and it just kind of happened. I think Billie Eilish did the same thing. Her and her brother, I mean, of course, they live in Los Angeles, so that's the capital of all entertainment, but they got started in their little bedroom and made her first album on a computer in their bedroom and uploaded SoundCloud, and it just popped.
Well, Live Nation, they're two agents. I'm sorry, Stacey, Casey. The other two aren't announced yet, so we don't want
to. Oh.
Sorry.
Well, we'll be actually announcing another show probably in about another 2 weeks.
Okay, so we got some secrets?
So,
Can I see what they are? Okay. Coming are they country?
It's
you don't want to say.
Possibility.
You don't want to say. Okay.
But they'll be later this year
in
the fall.
Okay.
So we're excited about this.
Nice. Well, Kane Brown's actually exciting. I mean,
I think it's kind of like a crossover.
Yeah, it's kind of crossover.
Appeal.
I listened to a few of his songs for about a week straight, and I was like, I like the sound of it. It's country-esque, but it also has some more of the I don't want to say hip hop, but it's like the crossover. And I'm like, God, sure. This is I can easily listen to this and feel like I'm listening to a broad range of music versus mm-hmm. going right. to like I love Alan Jackson, but whenever I'm feeling country, I go to Alan Jackson. I go to Garth Brooks. Like that's country in my mind. I grew up in the sure. '90s, like the bulk of my childhood, and when all my family members. The few family members that did drink, they were drinking hard, smoking hard, and getting drunk, and they were listening to Alan Jackson and George Strait, and that's country to me. But nowadays, it's like country's different. Like,
well, look at Taylor yeah. Swift. Yeah, she started out in country.
I know, and now it's there's no country there.
Yeah,
right.
It's yeah. like straight city.
Right. And who's the Billy Ray Cyrus?
Oh God!
Right.
Okay, Breaky Heart.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
he was all country. Ago,
yeah, Old Town Road, and now you know.
I know he's famous again. Back, nobody, right? knows, yeah. nobody knows. Nobody knows Achy Breaky Heart, but they know Old Town Road.
Exactly. Yeah, I think he's doing a show at one of the casinos. I think he next is. Weekend, right?
Yeah,
or coming
yeah.
up next wow. week. Yeah.
I wanna touch base a little bit on some, I guess, the construction of the Cajun Dome and some new construction that's about. That's currently in the works. So I have some photos here. So if you're watching, you can see a couple of construction photos. So this one, I don't know if you guys can see, it's mm-hmm. upside down, but this is when the Cajun Dome was being constructed. You can kind of see like the skeleton of the
yeah.
the roof, and I'm only guessing this is 1985 because that's whenever yeah. I don't know 82 whenever it broke right. ground. So right in that area. So it only took a couple of, like, 3 years to build.
Interesting information yeah. about that. So I don't know how much of a history buff you are, but when the pyramids were built, they had to build them with
openings. Are you talking about in Egypt or here?
In Egypt.
Okay.
I'll make the connection then.
Okay.
They had to build them with open doors so that once they put the people in, the whoever they were, in the pyramids, and they exited and left some people in there, they would hit a brick or a pipe, something, and sand would lower all the doors. That's not just movie
Indiana
BS.
Jones
it's kind of yeah, Indiana Jones. It's true. Well, when they did the Cajun Dome, that center that you're looking
yeah.
at, they had pipes full of sand, and the pipes then had the concrete pillars that were going to be the structure for the building. There, if when you go in the building, there are no beams in the center.
Right.
All the beams are on the outside. There's 60 concrete beams that make up the Cajun Dome. Those beams go down 60 feet onto bedrock, 60 feet into the ground. So in order to do that and to build the roof, they did basically the same thing. They had sand holding up the center. So once they had all the pillars set, and they had this cylinder, if you will, for this roof, which was suspended. Once everything was ready, they knocked out this hole in this cylinder. The sand ran out, and the roof came down on top of that space. It was the most amazing thing. It was written up in all kind of architectural digests.
Did you watch that happen?
Nope, I did not.
God, that would have been so cool.
Oh, yeah. And I don't know if anyone ever got a video of it. But Nurbass was the architect, and it was really a feat.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah. And that if you, when next time you drive by the Cajun Dome, look at the ramps
mm-hmm.
and look at the windows. And the design came from a crab. So the windows at the top are the crab eyes, and the ramps are actually the crab claws. And if you look at the Cajun Dome with that in mind, you will see the crab.
So our Cajun Dome is a crab.
It is.
It's essentially,
it's
yeah.
Essentially, crab. it's designed after a crab.
If you look at it from, you know, like the, kind of like where the marquee is.
Right.
Yeah.
That side of the building.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's actually really cool.
Uh-huh.
So this is the last photo. I had four of them, and this one's just kind of a aerial. And in this photo, you can see that the light center doesn't even exist yet. None of
right.
that stuff exists yet.
Right.
Yeah,
well, there was an earthquake in the, I want to say 2000, early 2000. I don't know if you lived here at the time, but people in New Orleans were noticing that ponds had ripples in it. People around... this part of the country, we're noticing all of a sudden the water, for no reason, you know how when you ride the boat through mm-hmm. the basin and you see the ripples coming out behind the boat? Well, there were ripples that were just being created. Nobody could figure out what it was. On that day, the Cage Dome had a Sesame Street show. And we were just fixing to open doors. And the center hung rigging, which had the lights and a lot of the props for the show, started swinging. And I mean substantially swinging. And we had people coming in for the show going, what? So we had to put them all in seats, get them off the floor, put them all in the arena seats. And the artist said, we're not going out there. I mean, that's our rigging that's swinging. If that comes down, we're all dead. So we had sent our people up to check the rigging. And while all that was going on, one of our electricians said, I think it's an earthquake. And I'm looking at him going, this is South Louisiana, sweetie. We don't have earthquakes. And he said, no, I think it's an earthquake. So I dismissed what he was saying. My focus was make sure this is safe. So after they had done everything and determined it was safe, no knots, no rigging was coming apart, and everything stopped, we put the show on, but we wouldn't let people sit on the floor. We just kept them in the stands. Sure enough, it was an earthquake. And because the building was 60 feet down on bedrock, the bedrock was moving, and so was the building.
Wow.
There you go.
Dude, 60 feet into the ground. I mean, that's deep. I mean, how tall is the building? I mean,
164 feet in the center.
Okay, so you got, you know, at least a quarter, maybe a little bit more of actual, you know, depth in the ground. So,
yeah,
an earthquake, and nobody felt it just standing up.
No.
Yeah.
No. Not at all.
Not I think at all. I remember that as a kid. I was probably in the early 2000s. Man, I was 14, 15 years old.
It made the news. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, of course, at that age, I wasn't looking at the news.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people even our age that don't even want to look at the news.
You're right.
So some of the new construction that you guys have going on right now is kind of interesting. So, this new project is called the Table Room.
Uh-huh.
And so tell us a little bit about the Table Room.
The Table Room was a concept that we had been talking about even before Greg left. For years we wanted to use that space, that it was storage. It is a mirror image in terms of the footprint, a mirror image of our administrative offices. And there was talk about doing a lot of things in there. But now that we're the age that we are, we felt like, one, we had to offer something that was entertainment for our fans. Two, in the economic world that we live in today, with the oil business not doing what it used to do, and just business in general, we felt like we had to come up with something that would attract more people, but also give us an opportunity to make more money. The Cage Dome is run any given year, we have a $4 to $6 million budget. The city of Lafayette gives us $380,000. That's 6%.
That's from hotel occupancy tax?
No, that's just that's operating funds.
Okay.
$360,000. But in a $4 to $6 million budget world, that's only 6%
of
what we need to run the building. So and there are limited resources for us to get that money. So we started doing a deep dive into what would be the best use of this space and have the greatest return. So we did some research. We know when people come in the building. We know how much money they spend. And we know all our points of sale. And it became very clear, especially from the lines, if you've gone to an event, that a lot of people spend a lot of time in lines trying to be serviced. Also, the majority of our sales is South Louisiana, comes from alcoholic beverages. So it became very apparent where we need to put our focus. So, and we're not the only ones. Arenas and stadiums around the country are doing the same thing. So we embarked on this. It is an extension of our concession space. Predominantly, it will be serving alcohol, and it's a space that we can also enclose so that fans that come from out of town, which are a lot, we can entice them to come to our venue before the show, enjoy themselves, and then when the event starts or they start letting people in, we roll up these huge glass doors and people can go right into the arena. We're also looking at doing corporate events, Mardi Gras events.
Like it'll be available for private rental, right. So private events.
Okay.
Tailgating for you, sporting events. It's not going to be run like a bar, because we're not a bar, but it will be used as an entertainment space.
And you'll have TVs and all that good stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah. We've got Wi-Fi. We've got gaming systems. It's we're hoping we'll do some tournaments,
like esports tournaments.
Esports
in there.
Tournaments,
really?
That kind
okay.
of thing. So.
So we were approached last year to do a tournament, and for whatever reason, the company that was putting that together just backed off. I have no inside knowledge about why, but they were looking at us because we had done a Fortnite tournament 2 years ago that was very successful. So there's a lot out there. So the space is designed to be multifunctional. We've got all the latest technology and lighting and sound system, and it's going to be a fun space if you're coming to an event. Hopefully, I think our grand opening is Thursday. Our preview party is Thursday, and then the grand opening will be next weekend.
And you mentioned the preview party, so you guys gave us, how many tickets is this?
There's a pair in each envelope.
Okay, so we have four tickets. We're going to be giving away four tickets to the preview party next Thursday to the table room. We're going to be doing that on our post that we make about the table room. So I have some construction photos, and I have the rendering that I just showed you guys that are watching. And what I'll do is I'll set up a link so people can, register. I'll get their email address. And whoever wins, I'll collect email addresses for a couple days, and then beginning of next week, I'll announce a winner, and so we'll have a couple people, two couples, if you want to think about it, being able to go to the table room and check it out whenever it opens. Mm-hmm. Be in on the Joneses.
There you go.
Because I think that's what a lot of people that follow us, they like to know the things that are happening before their friends do. Mm-hmm. So they kind of have that like, oh, I know about this place before you. I've seen it before you did. Which is kind of interesting. I didn't think about it like that until recently. But yeah, thank you for these tickets. I'll definitely give those away to our followers. And I'm pretty sure you guys will get those people in, and maybe they'll be super fans of it. If we go to an event, I'm going to check it out. I'm not a big drinker, but it's a nice space to hang out if there's like an event that's about to start and I don't want to just stand in the lobby, I guess,
exactly.
Or stand outside. Cause,
or you want to meet your friends.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be a great meeting space.
Cool. Well, what are some other things about the Cajun Dome that maybe people listening that they do not know about, or maybe some fun facts since you've been there for a while?
Well, how about this? We're working on some other things. We can't just stay still and keep doing business the way we're doing business, because our business evolves and our patrons evolve.
Right.
They're always looking for the latest, greatest. I mean, the Wi-Fi is huge and very important nowadays. People want to come in and take selfies. They spend as much time on their phones as they do watching some of the events. It's sort of like, okay.
I know, that's funny, right?
Don't you want to be present? Oh, no, I want a video. You're watching it. Anyway, so we're looking at doing things that will always increase the service aspect of our jobs and the entertainment value. One of the things we're talking about in the next couple of weeks is we're going to be upgrading our ticketing system. So when you buy an airline ticket and you... An airline ticket, and you end up putting that ticket in your phone, in your wallet, if you're a smartphone user. I don't know what the other guys do. We are going to be using the same concept as airlines.
Okay.
You'll still be able to pick your seat. You're still going to be able to do everything. But now your ticket's going to live on your phone. You can send your ticket to a friend. If you buy tickets for your family, you can send them out. It's going to be, and it's called Presence. So it's gonna go to the next level of service. We're also looking at increasing our presence in social media world with a new app. We're working on that. That's a couple of months off, just so we can have a conversation with our fans when they're there, do upgrades at events, just do fun stuff. We are also, there was something else I was thinking about. Oh, we have a fan, the Audi suite. We have a fan space, which is an upsell. So when you come to an event, let's say you and six of your friends want to do something special.
Yeah.
You can pay this upsell, go into this suite. It's on the south end, which is a direct face towards the stage, and have all the food and beverages that you want inside this suite.
Along like included.
Included.
Okay.
So essentially, it's like, yeah, like buying a ticket into a suite without having to rent a whole suite mm-hmm. for yourself.
Restrooms wow. are in there. Open bar is in there. Full service. It's really cool. So a lot of artists are now going to upgrades on their shows. You'll see circles that say, okay, you'll be on the front row. In addition to that, these are all the perks that come with buying these upgraded tickets. And that is a big trend within the industry. Well, this is, on the venue side, this is what we're also proposing. So we're hoping that we'll be doing in the future reward programs, loyalty programs.
Okay.
It's all a matter of making sure that the fans have great memories and a great experience. I mean, the first dollars that people can save on are entertainment. I mean, we're truly an optional expense.
Yeah, it's a luxury.
But we create the best memories and the most fun, and people are very selfish with their time now. If they're going to do something, they want to get something out of it. They want a great memory. They want a lot of fun. And that's what we're trying to achieve.
You know, I'm hearing a lot now in the past couple of years that if you're going to spend money that you may or may not have, the best use of that money is to spend it making memories. And so events, like I only went to one concert ever in my life, like in the Cajun Dome. I told Casey about it the other day. It was the Madness Tour with I think it was a Madness Tour with Shinedown and a couple of the other big bands. And I still remember that event like it was yesterday, even though it was 10 years ago.
Right.
And I'm like, man, I had so much fun. And I was like in the general, not seating, it was standing room.
Right.
And I was like probably six or seven people length away from the stage. Of course, you have your place where the security people are standing, but I was like, that was the best experience I've ever had, and I spent like 60-something bucks on a ticket, mm-hmm. which is probably not a lot compared to some bigger acts, but I mean, I thought 60 bucks was a lot.
Right.
And so I would never have traded that, ever. Like, if I ever said, you know, I should have not have gone there, I never thought that.
Right.
But like, I'll go to a restaurant and spend 120 bucks. I'm like, should I have done that? But that's also kind of an experience depending on where you go.
Right.
But, you know, it's not a regret, usually an event or something that you make a memory of. So that's kind of what the Cajun Dome provides.
We do. And it's amazing. We've been doing our fair for how many years now?
The Cajun Heartland?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, we're making 32 years.
Right.
This is our 32nd annual in May.
So I'm 33.
We have parents bringing their kids that came when they were kids.
Yeah, yeah. It's a tradition.
Oh, and the turnover, nothing like making you feel, oh, I came when I was a little kid and now I've got my teenagers. Oh, well, you could have gone all night without telling me that.
Right.
But, yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah, isn't the song Go Go Half Go Go, go, go
fun, fun,
fun Fun? Yeah, so I was like, because there's a Facebook page that just started a group that they're talking about their fond memories of songs and different things that they remember as a kid, and that was one of them that started the conversation was Go Go Fun Fun, and I'm like, I think that's the Cajun Heartland thing.
It is.
That's awesome. Yeah.
We have a commission member, George Favalor, who owns Nighttown. And a couple of weeks back, we were having a commission meeting, and he said, I just got to share this with you. He said he had a EMD, D-E-M?
EDM.
EDM,
electronic
thank you.
Dance music.
Yeah. Oh, and that's what EDM is.
Oh, I love EDM, yes, yes.
DJ, and he said, you know, the crowd was going nuts. They were all there for the music. And all of a sudden, he started playing our jingle.
Like he mixed in the go-go. He mixed in like our wow. jingle for the fair into whatever he was playing.
And he said the whole room went nuts.
I bet it's nostalgic.
Just could not stop bouncing up and down. And it just kept going and going. And he said, it never occurred to me to video it on my phone. I'm sorry. He said, but I did tell the guy, okay, the next time I book you and you do that again, you got to give me a heads up. Because I've got a video of this.
Yeah, because I want to hear it. Now I'm curious. I want to know what it sounds like. I bet you it sounds amazing. Because, like, I love electronic music. I love, well, back when dubstep was a thing, I can't stand the way that sounds anymore. But EDM in general, I tend to listen to that the most because there's several versions of it. There's, like, a chill version. There's one that's, like, super, like, mm-hmm. heavy. And it's kind of like my version of rock music. That's like what I like to listen to. And now, mm-hmm. sometimes they EDM mixes that with rock and all that. But I've always it's like Festival, like Festival International. I've asked them like, why don't have like an EDM stage? Like Coachella is big on electronic right. music and all right. the other bands. I'm like, how come you guys aren't? Well, it's because we're international, and if an international band has that, then we'll have it. But he said I was talking with the director there, and he was saying that they're thinking about doing like a silent stage
where you put the headphones on.
Silent disco.
And, silent disco. And I'm like, that's going to be so weird to see from a person who's not in it. Right, like everybody's hopping die. Around and there's like no sound, but everybody's like getting crunk or whatever, you know, you call it. I hate saying that. I feel old saying that, but uh-huh. Okay. So we're at 47 minutes. I want to get one last little take. What is one of the most memorable experiences, Casey, that you've had at the Cajun Dome, whether it's meeting someone famous, if you have, or what is or your best act, or what is the most memorable experience you've had so far at the Cajun Dome?
You know, I think I had gone, so typically for concerts, you know, my role is I escort media in.
Okay.
You know, so I take them to wherever the approved spot is so they can get their photos or their quick video and take them back out kind of thing. And I was really surprised when I had gone in for the Chris Young concert. Because, I'd say, you know, he's a fairly new artist, like on a, I guess, awareness level, right? But he's got a lot of recognizable songs, you know, that like, and so like walking in there and all of a sudden it was like everybody was singing to like the three or four songs we had to be in there for, like we were in there for. And it kind of reminded me of like being at a Gar show where it's like, it's a big karaoke party, right? Yeah. Like everybody sings along to every Garth show to where like half the time you're like, I can't hear Garth, you know? And so I think that was kind of like the first time, obviously working at the Cajun Dome too, and like being in a show to where it was like, wow, this is really cool to like be on the floor and like hear everybody singing. And I don't know, it was just kind of like a feeling that kind of like overwhelms and takes you over, you know? So that's probably one of my most memorable, most recent.
So a Chris Young concert.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of, well, I guess, surprised in a way, you know, like, Chris Young. Okay. I get it. You know, right. Everybody's singing and, you know, so it was just a cool experience. Yeah.
Well, what about you, Pam? You've had a lot of...
Yeah, I get goosebumps when I walk out. When I see, it's not so much concentrating on the artists, but I see the fans and everyone getting into the event. When I stop getting goosebumps, I'm going to have to retire. Because that, for me, that's there's no greater high. But most memorable event would be a toss-up between Garth Brooks and the Eagles.
Okay.
We did the Eagles in 95, and we were the smallest venue on that tour. That's when Hell Freezes Over tour came out. We had two local people put the money up to pay for the show, and every ticket in the building was $75.
Oh, wow.
And prior to that, maybe it was 95.
Up there.
But it was the highest price ticket we had ever put on sale. And I'm looking at the two guys going, we'll sell it out. Don't worry, we'll sell it out. And the first day when it didn't sell out, I was very nervous. But it did sell out within 5 days. But the night of the show, Irving Azoff, who is a legend in the music industry, happened to be at that show. He wanted to see this little venue in Lafayette, Louisiana, that got the money for the show and then did all the work to make sure the event happened. And my job that night was to talk to Mr. Azoff, answer any of his questions, take him anywhere in the building, show him around. Well, at one point we ended up in a suite and we're watching the show. After two songs, he left. He said, okay, thank you very much, and left. And I said, okay, I could follow him backstage, or I could stay right here and watch the show. Well, I stayed there and watched the show, and I had my radio whenever they would call me. Yeah, what do you need? Okay, thanks. That was the best show. It was awesome. And to think that the Eagles were in Lafayette, Louisiana, and the crowd was going nuts. The same thing with Garth Brooks. The year that they played New Orleans, that was the time frame the promoter had contacted us first, but we were going to be doing construction for the renovation. We had to postpone a year. Well, they called for the next year. Same thing. I'm sorry, we didn't do the construction. It's this year. So when the promoter called the third time, he said, Pam, this is your last shot. Wow. If you don't do it, because after we play you and we play other venues, we're now going to be going to stadium dates. So if you can't do it, you're out of luck. And I said, Ben, we'll make it happen. And we did. New Orleans did three shows. And Bossier did two shows.
I'm talking about Garth Brooks?
No, I'm talking, yeah, Garth
that
Brooks.
Year.
That year. When they took the other dates. When our show came in and we had five. The first night, walking out there, seeing that arena packed, and the crowd screaming and yelling. I mean, he couldn't even play until they settled down. That and the Eagles were
nice.
Just awesome.
Well, we're about to wrap up. I think it's safe to say that if anybody is listening, we're still a little bit upset about Journey. So, I don't know if Journey will ever journey back to Lafayette.
We've tried. Actually,
funny thing is we almost had them for this year.
Yeah, we did.
Wow.
We almost had them. Yeah. But Journey is very expensive.
Yeah.
And again, they look back at history. And
but look, I think, I don't know what year, maybe that was 13, 14?
There was a hurricane that came through that year.
I don't think I've ever seen so many people on social media, even friends of mine or people that I'm not friends with, posting about how upset they were that they postponed it and then decided not to come back.
Right. Well, the promoter that had that show was out of New Orleans. It was Beaver Productions. They probably don't even want me saying that. So the first time they postponed was because of a hurricane.
Okay.
So they rescheduled. When they rescheduled, Pat Benatar...
He got sick, right?
She.
Well, didn't the singer of Journey get sick?
Wait. I'm getting there.
Okay.
So the second time, first they had the show, they canceled, they rescheduled. Pat Benatar was not available. They said, well, that's all right. We'll go ahead and do the show anyway. But about 2,000 people got refunds on their tickets.
Yeah.
They were Pat Benatar fans. Well, that didn't make the promoter feel very good, especially when it costs as much as it did. Then they are getting close to that date. And the artist got sick, and that's when the promoter said, okay, that's three. That's jinx. I'm out. So he canceled.
God.
Yeah.
That's just disheartening. But, you know, maybe one day.
Right. Well, here's how, and this is a little known secret. It's something that gives every community an edge. If you've got an artist that you're really into and fond of, and I'll use Taylor Swift as an example. Taylor Swift has got a fan base that is unbelievable. She's got Instagram fans, she's got Facebook fans, but she's got a fan club that is unbelievable. And that's how she can go to New Orleans and sell tickets for $8,000 in the pit. There are people that will pay that. So what happens is these artists will take that data. They've gotten very sophisticated, and they break it down to the markets. Our advantage is we know that we draw from a 150-mile radius, but we need people in this market to support the artists that they love. Join their fan club. Get their information. Because the more people you have in a market that are in your fan club, the better your odds are of getting those artists.
Okay. So that is a good tip for anybody listening, mm-hmm. that if you want a certain artist, join yep. their fan club or do something to show that you'd support them.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or if you see the artist puts out a post like, hey, where should we play on our next
right,
tour?
Right.
You know, tag the Cajun Dome, like put us on their radar.
Right.
You know, like, you know, we try to see those posts when we can, but we can't catch them all.
No doubt.
You know, but if that's someone that you're a fan of, you know, put us on their radar so that they see it. And then once we're tagged, now we know, oh, look, there's people here in town that want to see this artist
yeah.
play. And then we can reach out from our end, too.
Was it Chris Young that did a post that talked about the Cajun Dome?
Yeah, he did. Well, he did like a little Twitter, I think, video.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
specifically thanking the Cajun Dome and all of our fans.
So it was
the
experience
that
day.
He had. Yeah, he was like, it was his best show. He actually went out into the crowd for the very first time at one of his shows. He saw somebody that was proposing. So like he did a live thing while they're proposing in the crowd.
Yeah.
Put us on their radar. Help us out.
Have you guys ever done any polls on Facebook to see, like...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and it's very dangerous.
It is
dangerous. The minute people sign up and say, this is who we want to see...
And they don't get it?
Yeah. It's ugly. I will tell you, it was 2011, or maybe before that, when we did our last big poll, and Bruno Mars was just tipping on getting big, and he was the number one draw. I mean, he outdid everyone. So I sent it to all the promoters, sent it to the agents. I said, look, in this market, this guy will do well. And he hadn't hit big yet. Same thing with Florida Georgia Line. They listened. Bruno Mars people didn't. So, I don't know if you remember, but when we got Florida Georgia Line, it was right when they were starting to make noise.
Well, they were still rolling down their windows, right?
Right. And people are going, how did y'all do that?
Yeah.
So, yes, we did polls. So, in one case it worked, in another it didn't. But what it did do is it raised a lot of questions for, well, what are you people doing at the Cajun Dome? Why can't we get Paul McCartney?
Right. So why can't we get Paul McCartney or Cher?
We actually had him down. He was going to be the first show after our grand opening. And the promoter in New Orleans, the same one, got wind that, from me, that we were going to do that show. And he snaked it, took it to Shreveport.
Wow.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, we do compete with other venues
yeah,
outside.
Right.
So, especially if they're going to go do a show in New Orleans or Houston,
right.
you know, then they have to look at and say, okay, are we going to go to Biloxi? Are we going to go to Lafayette? Are we going to go to Shreveport? You know, so sometimes we get lucky and we all get the show.
Right.
But sometimes, you know, they pick the others over us. So.
And we've changed the way we do business with promoters, and we've incentivized them. We were doing a lot of deals similar to what other venues that are privately managed. So last year it worked out great. They were all consolidated into a short period of time. But this year I think we're going to be able to spread more shows in. So
okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing what else is in store for 2020 in the Cajun Dome, especially after the Table Room opens. I mean, that's pretty exciting for you guys. And, yeah, we'll see. We're looking forward to it.
Thanks.
Well, Pam, Casey, I appreciate you guys coming on and, I guess, for lack of a better word, spilling some of the tea with us. We are going to do that giveaway. So if you're listening, be aware of that. I'm going to post that today. And again, thank you guys for coming on and talking with me.
Thank you, Ben.
So just another little update. We're going to post about the Sterling Automotive Pre-Owned Group again. We really appreciate them. I'm not going to spill the whole line that I have. But if you're looking for a new car, it is tax time, and most of you get refunds. If you're a small business owner, chances are you don't get a refund, you owe. And that's unfortunate. However, check them out at saveitsterling.com. You can go check out their huge inventory there. And then on Facebook at facebook.com/Sterling Auto.
I own a car from Sterling. Actually, we have two in our family.
Oh, see?
And I am a personal testimony to say that is an incredible dealership.
Wow. See, I didn't even plan. Look, guys, I did not plan that. However, I do have my vehicle that I have now, and my last vehicle is from Sterling. I mean,
you agree. I mean, yeah. The service is incredible.
They're a great company. They're everywhere. I feel like they have so many locations.
So convenient.
Yeah. And
free oil changes, right?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't get a free oil change this time. Look, let me tell you what happened. We're supposed to cut this off already. However, they quit doing the free oil change. When you buy a new car, they quit doing the free oil change for life.
Wow.
And I asked about it because I was like, so I'm buying a new car. Do I get free oil changes? Goes, oh, we just ended that. I'm like, no. But anyway, Sterling, if you're listening, bring back the free oil change because I want to get my free oil change. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and call that a show. And again, thank you guys for coming on.
Thank you.
For information on sponsoring the Tea Podcast by Developing Lafayette, go to our website at developinglafayette.com and click advertise.